Paul Ryan as their speaker, the Republican House leader winning re-election to his job.
Welcome to the dawn of a new unified Republican government. We're on the same page with our president-elect. I talk with Donald Trump virtually every single day. We are on the same page. We're working hand in glove, and we're going to make sure that this is a very successful administration. But more importantly, we're going to make sure that the voices we heard from this election for the American people are acted upon.
I still don't feel responsible for what the president-elect says or does, but I do feel a responsibility as president of the United States to make sure that I facilitate a good transition, and I present to him, as well as the American people, my best thinking about how you move the country forward.
What are you hoping that Trump will do from an immigration perspective?
In general, we especially in Silicon Valley, benefit from talent coming from all around the world that want to go and be able to build great things and work at companies, start companies, and ultimately help improve our economy and our competitiveness.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is now Wednesday, hump day. It is November 16th, 2016, 5:10 in the morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. Glad to have you along. You heard there in the opening montage of what's happening around the world today, a little bit of Silicon Valley's take on Donald Trump. Lots of folks nervous there for not the reasons you might expect, not for their own interest, just about this mind field, and I say mind with a M-I-N-D, that we could be losing. Lots of brains, lots of smart people from other countries that could be caught up in some sort of immigration change or immigration reform under a Trump administration. We're going to be talking with Scott Catoon, CEO of Technori, which is tonight in Chicago. We'll be talking about that event as well coming up here on The Opening Bell. But first, let's begin at the WGN Market Desk, Associated Bank Market Desk. Find out what the numbers are doing this morning around the globe. First of all, in the United States, Dow futures are down 22 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures a little bit lower as well. Gold is trading off about 1% this morning at 45. Oil is trading off about 1%, 45.33 a barrel. In Asia, stocks are generally lower this morning, and the stocks are mixed. Asia stocks are generally a little bit lower. Lots of numbers flashing on the screen first thing this morning. It's probably not something that you're used to, not yet at least, until they get those displays in the car windows where we have the autonomous windows, and you get to see all the stuff flashing by, and then you realize what's in front of me every morning. And you'll cut me a little bit of slack, hopefully. A little bit of stories, a couple of big stories making news today. If you've been waiting on Snapchat to go public, it's coming. The clock has started for the countdown of this. Social Network's parent, Snap Incorporated, has filed confidentially to go public with an eye toward being valued at more than $30 billion. That's according to the New York Times today. U.S. Retail sales yesterday came in a little bit stronger than everybody expected, signifying this could be a pretty good holiday season for retailers. It's also another indication that perhaps the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates coming up at its December meeting. We'll get into a little bit of that as well coming up. But first, stocks, Silicon Valley, you heard during the campaign, not many of them, with the exception of maybe Peter Thiel of PayPal, supporting Donald Trump during his presidency. Most everybody else stayed on the West Coast, stayed in their corners. They are a little bit upset with Donald Trump's stand on a number of issues, immigration among them, technology, globalism, those kinds of things that hurt tech companies, not only because they sell their products worldwide, but also because they attract business, they attract minds and people from all countries, including Muslim countries, to come to this country to study, to be educated, and then to share their knowledge with us. Scott Catoon is the CEO of Technori in Chicago. It is a showcase that features startups and innovation. We'll get into tonight's big Technori. It's all about veterans coming up. But Scott, first, welcome to the Opening Bell. Welcome back. We haven't had you on in a long time. Good to see you. How's Technori going?
Technori's going very well. We've got the digital stuff is great. Technori Live here at WGN, which you're aware of, is doing really well. We've got some amazing guests As people heard yesterday, we just had Todd Connor from the Bunker, Veteran Labs, veteran-run incubator in Chicago.
Well, let's talk more about Technori tonight, but I want to get your impressions because you're sort of our startup innovation Silicon Valley transplant sort of that you're our go-to guy for information here. So the Donald Trump presidency is not going over so well in Silicon Valley.
So I hear.
Is it translating also here to the Chicago startup community?
You haven't seen the lines outside the window on Michigan Avenue? I would say it's not going well. I think if the Trump sign on the hotel was a little bit lower, it would be down already. There's a lot of activity in the community. I mean, honestly, and as we talked about off air, not naming names, I will name one. Genevieve Thiers, who owns Sitter City, has actually been a big proponent, obviously, was a huge proponent of Hillary Clinton. She's been hosting sort of parties and things to try to gather the troops and get everyone to kind of not just go crazy in the street, but rather kind of come together and figure out how they can regroup or figure out what they want to do. From a tech standpoint, where people are with the Donald Trump thing is, I think, for their own reasons, there's just as much fear among them as there is among the populace who are not pro-Trump.
Well, what is it specifically? Because it's for the most that I can remember in an election in my lifetime, you had this entire, pretty much the entire Silicon Valley against Trump, with the exception of Peter Thiel.
Yeah, you know, it's strange. I mean, I guess what can you expect when you elected a reality TV star? I mean, that's ultimately what we did. So he's famous and was great on TV because he's divisive. And here as a politician, it turns out the same. I think the big fears that I see personally and that I'm hearing about, the two that ring home to me are with regard to the approach that Donald Trump does, or in this case doesn't take, with technology. I don't think that he gives it the necessary importance that it should deserve, particularly when it comes to security, cybersecurity. And we've talked about for the last three or four years, well, longer than this, but mainly the last two or three years, with net neutrality and things like that. I think that becomes a back burner issue for Donald Trump administration. And the fact that you look at who he's already naming and appointing and rumored to be naming and appointing, and they're what I would call anti-science or not pro-tech. And that's a big problem because, as Elon Musk has even been quoted numerous times, and, you know, he's on another stratosphere or whatever, but another planet in some cases, literally. But Elon Musk talks about how in the next 10 or 15 years, a good 60% of the jobs that we have are going to be bot and tech related. So if you're not putting an emphasis on technology and security and investing in it as a government, we're going to have a big problem whether he's a 4-year or an 8-year president. We're going to have a huge problem because we're going to have 4 years of essentially bureaucracy being on pause while the world of technology grows around it, and that's not a place you want to be.
Scott Katun, CEO of Technori, stick with us here. We're going to do traffic and get back to our conversation here. We're going to be talking more about tonight's Technori in Chicago about veterans. It's all about veterans. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this hour, let's check some stocks of local interest as we head toward the opening bell this morning. Some of the underperformers this morning include the Boeing Company, off almost 1.5% this morning. One of the better performers today is Baxter International, up about 2.5%. Also in the performing category, Kraft Heinz, up almost 1.5%. It's 5:21.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. A rally in the oil markets pushed energy stocks higher and lifted the Dow to a new record close at 18,923. The Standard & Poor's 500 index rose 16 points to 2180. The NASDAQ composite added 57 points. United Airlines hopes to attract budget-conscious flyers as a way to boost profits. The carrier will now offer a lower basic economy fare that does not let travelers pick their seats and limits them to one carry-on. The discount passengers also would be last to board. Twitter has a new way to curb content that users consider abusive, expanding a function that allows people to mute accounts if they don't want to see them. Users also will find it easier to report negative conduct to Twitter. The Home Depot is reaping the benefits of low unemployment, low mortgage rates, and rising home prices. The retailer raised its outlook for the year as sales surged in the third quarter. Americans, it says, are becoming more willing to take on home improvement projects. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program as we focus this morning our pre-dawn business conversation on Technori and on Silicon Valley's reaction to the election of Donald Trump. As you know, not many folks, Apple was among some of the big ones, Facebook as well. They were big donors to the Democrat, Hillary Clinton, very worried about how a Donald Trump presidency might impact science and technology. Scott Catoon is with us. He's the CEO of Technori. And Scott, before the break, we were talking a little bit about this. But I wonder if maybe you could give us a better sense of just, you know, how this sort of cuts just beyond support for one party over the other. There are some real concerns in this community about immigration, about where the new mines might be coming from, where products might be shipped and traded.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and I'm split on this. In a good way, I guess. The personal part of me would actually agree that I think we do need to be a little bit more secretive in some of the things that we do because of just the fact that information travels so quickly now that if you say something about an attack or whatever, as he's made many comments, why do we post about going to attack someone? Well, they're going to hear about it and run. I think that I like that there's a little bit more emphasis in not sharing everything. On the other side, though, collaboration, as we've learned over the last few years, the rapid growth in tech has been a result of open source and open collaboration. The rapid growth of becoming a global economy in the truest sense is about open source and sharing. There are some different countries and things, Russia, China, that are going to be always a little bit more secretive based on the way that their cultural setup is. I think going and becoming inclusive is a bad idea. I think forget about the politics of it, because we can go on all day with the politics of building walls and wonderful things. I would really like him to go out and say, we're going to build a firewall. That would be great. I'm down with that. Yeah. But building walls and things, what that does to me, I look at it as a business owner, as you're eliminating potential candidates for me to hire, potential people who are going to come to this country to get a great education because there's a great opportunity here. And they're not now because they think, well, we're going to come here, get our education, and then they're going to kick us out. And that's not what you want. And there's companies that are on my show today, K-Cura, who actually will be doing a lot of hiring. And will they not hire certain people who graduate from this country or graduate from Northwestern and Chicago in Chicago because there's a chance that they might not be able to secure a visa? That's not good. That's you're draining the talent pool. And everyone just thinks of it from the standpoint of low wage jobs and you know people coming from south of the border coming here and stealing our jobs. When that's not at all really the reality. The reality is we're essentially saying, no, we don't want a brain pool here. We don't want to pool talent. No thanks. And you're going to just bring people to this country, educate them, pay for all this stuff, and then just send them back? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because I think you're right. Most people think when he talks about his immigration policies, they think of sort of the, maybe the farm worker, somebody who maybe is Hispanic that works in a hotel and sort of that, you know, those sorts of jobs. But there is when you talk about cutting off immigration, that's everybody. That's the brain trust that some of these technology firms have working on the next best thing.
You can't, even at, like 1871 is an example. This is kind of funny. They have these, it used to be very wide open. You just walk right in. And now they've got these sort of door things up that I don't like. People don't really like them. But what I'm getting at is that you have this like cluster of people standing outside of it instead of being in it. And in my personal opinion, it's kind of a negative because we used to have people in the front entryway that we could talk to who were coming from outside. There are business guys who don't live in this little bubble of 1871 that we could sort of talk to and rap with. And now we can't. And I guess what I'm getting at is when you create a system where you've closed all the doors and you said, well, there's only one way in, folks. You can only come in through this one door. You essentially create a big bottleneck. It slows everything down. And the ability to meet and greet and work with different people who we've got to figure out how to keep them here when they're going back is completely stopped. And it's not open. It's not a collaborative nature. It in theory, it looks great. In practice, it just doesn't work.
Part of becoming the president, though, is you learn and get it pretty fast that this is a whole new deal other than campaigning. I always joke with people that first meeting at the White House that he and President Obama had, that's when they tell him that the aliens exist and they take him down to the Situation Room, and that's when that gray hair starts. But I think people are hopeful a little bit that perhaps he's going to see the light and not only focus on manufacturing and infrastructure, which the country sorely needs, but still keep us up, with technology.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when the election went through, obviously I wasn't thrilled about it, but I was more concerned about the fact that we had everything went one way, and I don't mean Republican or Democrat. The fact that we kind of lost a great bit of checks and balances was really where my concern was at.
So let's talk about Technori tonight. It's all about veterans.
Yes.
Tell us what you're focusing on in the companies that you're highlighting.
So the companies we actually teamed up with Bunker Labs, which is an 1871 based incubator that's dedicated entirely for veterans. It's run by veterans. Todd Connor, who's the CEO, who was on the show yesterday, is the guy who started it, and he is a former Navyman, and he has, you know, what, 13 or 14 veteran, veteran bunker labs across the entire country in less than like 2 years. So the interest for veterans in becoming entrepreneurs is very high. In fact, a quarter of all veterans who come back from active duty will start their own business, which it was in the 50-60% back in World War II and that time. So we're trying to tap into a skill set that's developed when you come through the government, through training, you know, having the ability to lead teams and to think pragmatically and all these things that work really well for entrepreneurs. Our focus is to highlight that and let people know who are not veterans that, listen, our veterans come back here and they are really, really great entrepreneurs, and they need our support. And I think that from an investor and from a common, you know, friends and family sort of investment round of things, they sometimes look at a veteran and go, well, what experience do you have? And the truth is they've got great leadership skills, and they're the kind of people who don't quit at anything. And so in my mind, that's the first person I would invest in over any experience in any sort of business or industry. So what we're really aiming to do with this is, one, shine a light and say thank you to our veterans and showcase some of the companies that they've created, some that are for commercial use, some B2B, and some also trying to help fellow veterans. But really what I'm trying to do is shine a light on the entire ecosystem for veterans and say, you know, we should be investing not just money and care, but we should be investing money in their businesses. They should get more than just a little bit, you know, a little lower interest rate. We should be investing in them, you know, actually support wise. And so that's what this is all about. We've got five companies: VictorApp, PingMomo, Utusk. I'm looking at the list there. We've got Quick Picks is another one, and Wheels on Time, which is really actually one of the more interesting ones. You'll have to check out Sandra. She's got a company that is essentially leasing for getting those who have poor credit for tires, which is a funny thing, and it sounds kind of different. But if you check it out, you'll love it. It's tonight at Chase Auditorium, which is at 10 South Dearborn. Tickets are still available. Just go to technori.com. Use WGN as your hashtag and save a little bit of cash in the promo code to save 25%. So we hope everyone comes down tonight.
And if you're a veteran, absolutely show up.
Absolutely. If you're a veteran, use USA as a promo code, and it's free. And you can come on in, and every veteran should be there, because there's going to be lots and lots of fellow veterans to talk about and network with. And really, I guess you asked the question before, what do I want out of it? I would love to see a couple of veterans meet at this event, not knowing each other prior, and start a company together. That would be amazing.
We had a segment just before Veterans Day about how we've been, as a country, pretty good about hiring veterans, and they are dissatisfied with their jobs because they're not being challenged.
Yeah.
It sounds like these companies are doing that, exactly.
Some of these guys, most of them actually, that are on our stage for this one, previously were in their service, whatever, you know, area of service, and they came out and started working at whatever company they did and were just dissatisfied because it was like, I was operating multi-million dollar machinery and was in charge of 50, 60 people, and now I come here and I work in a cubicle and I hit enter, escape all day, and that's my job. And they couldn't do it, and so they're starting their own businesses. And honestly, a good portion of them, we don't have the metrics yet, but I have no doubt that of the first two or three cohorts to come out of bunker, that there's going to be a much higher percentage of success than probably the average of startups, just because of their ability to get stuff done.
Scott Catoon, CEO, Technori. You can find more at Technori, and good luck tonight, and see you soon, hopefully.
Thank you so much for having me.
Scott Catoon, again, the CEO of Technori. You can find more at Technori on Twitter and at technori.com. Just a reminder that tonight's event, still tickets available at 6 o'clock. It is all about veterans, the Veterans Showcase, again, sponsored by J.P. Morgan Chase and Technori. And make sure you listen to Scott Catoon's podcast on WGN+.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 541 on this Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. In a time when most people don't have landlines anymore and they're dumping all kinds of the things that they normally have, including even keys to cars, I bet you have a key card with you right now in your wallet. It either probably opened something at the office, or maybe you're in a hotel or something else, a resort or business, you probably have a key card. It's an industry that is growing by leaps and bounds. One of those companies is based in North Carolina, and it is called PLI, Plastercard Lock Tech International. We're happy to have the CEO and president, Peter Krause, with us today from North Carolina, I believe. Peter, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Happy to be here. Thank you.
You're in beautiful Asheville, I believe, right?
Actually, I'm out in our Las Vegas office at the moment, so it's quite early in the morning for me.
Well, thank you for getting up with us. This is, you know, did I nail it on the head opening up there? I mean, everybody, we don't have keys to our cars anymore, but I bet everybody still has key cards.
No, that's very true. And most people don't realize, obviously, where the product comes from, first of all, or really how widespread the usage is. But all the major hotels, resorts, properties around the world all use electronic key cards.
What is the newest innovation in this area? Where are we going? I know when I usually go on vacation, I end up not maybe once or twice losing my key card. So, and I'm sure that's the case with a lot of folks. And, you know, I have one strung around my neck here this morning. What's the new innovation in technology with key cards?
Well, traditionally, most people were using a magnetic key card, which everyone's familiar with that technology. It's been around for 25, 30 years. The real trend now is moving towards what's called contact or contactless cards, which utilize RFID and even NFC technology. People are becoming more and more familiar with these technologies with their smartphones, but the cards are now embedded with these chips and antennas that allow really a more user-friendly interface. You don't have to, you know, swipe the card through a reader. You could just place it against the lock or even be in proximity of the lock and open the door.
The other thing, too, is loyalty products are sort of emerging here. Companies are getting the idea that these just don't unlock doors.
Well, that's very correct. I mean, most properties in the hotel chains are using them also to track, you know, the guests themselves and be able to track that guest loyalty. Where are they on property? What services are they utilizing? What food venues are they visiting? How often are they at the pool? And it really helps the resort or the hotel, you know, craft a much more unique and custom experience for the guest.
We want to mention that you have plants across the country. You mentioned you're out in Las Vegas, but you have a plant in the suburbs of Chicago here in Illinois, and you're expanding. What is the success to this, your success and small business? We in our bigger discussion today of Donald Trump presidency and where we're going and concern about small business and regulation, where does all that fit into what you do?
Well, I appreciate the question. We're very proud of the fact that we manufacture 100% of the product in the United States. We'd like to think that we've been bucking the trend for many years now in terms of manufacturing jobs in the U.S. Again, as you mentioned, we got our start in the small town of Asheville, North Carolina, literally in the basement of a home of a retiree. We've now grown this business to, you know, four manufacturing locations, more than 1,000 employees, and being the largest company in our particular industry. Beyond just the key cards, we're also the largest manufacturer of gift cards, loyalty cards, membership cards for major retailers that everybody would recognize the names of. And I really think the keys to our success is we've been hyper-focused on our employees, first of all. We've been hyper-focused on our customers. And we've really built a unique culture with those two things key in mind. And we firmly believe that if you take care of your customers, take care of your employees, really everything else kind of falls into place. But again, in spite of, you know, the worst economy and what most people consider the history of economies, you know, to grow a manufacturing business in the U.S. by the rate that we have over the last 5 or 6 years in particular is something we're exceptionally proud of.
Well, so that brings me to the question, number one, how did you do that? And then second of all, if you had the ear of Donald Trump or one of his advisors as one of these successful small businesses who wants to grow even more, what would you ask for and tell him?
Well, I think, you know, our key to our success was that hyper-focus on people and customers, doing right by both of those groups. You know, my message to any president would be there are good businesses and good business leaders out there that want to do the right things by their employees and let them do so. I think the overreach of government and a lot of the new rules and policies and procedures have actually inhibited small and mid-sized company growth, not supported it. I'm obviously eager to see what new rules might come into play over the next years. You know, I firmly believe that some of the new regulations that the NLRB, Department of Labor, and other agencies have implemented the last few years have candidly been detrimental to small and mid-sized business.
As somebody who, I'm not necessarily referring to your company, but somebody who has their finger in the pulse here, we've seen a lot of jobs go overseas. It's one thing both of the presidential candidates talked about. Can we bring those jobs back?
I think we can. I think, you know, with the right environment, with the right, you know, corporate tax environment, with the right infrastructure in place, and with the right encouragement and incentives for business to bring those jobs back, they can. There are skilled workers here. We've experienced that. There are obviously hardworking people here in the U.S. And I think the economy and I think our culture is ripe for those manufacturing jobs to come back to the U.S.
What does the future hold for your company? And a lot of companies are investigating and using, sort of experimenting with drones and other sort of AI. What's the future of your company?
Well, I appreciate that question. I mean, our future is going to be continued growth. You mentioned we're now in the suburbs of Chicago and Romeoville, Illinois. That was a recent acquisition we did of a company called PSA. We're continuing to look at both organic growth within our company and then obviously growth through acquisition. We believe we have a really unique recipe as to how we do things, and again, that focus on customer and employee. And we're going to keep growing upon that. We're going to keep evolving with the changes in technology in our industry. Again, the changes we talked about in the key card space from MagStripe to RFID and NFC. We had to get ahead of that curve really fast and be ready to switch our manufacturing processes to accommodate those new needs, because the manufacturing process for RFID and NFC is completely different than MagStripe. So we'll keep evolving. We'll keep an eye and a pulse on new technologies as they continue to come and help our customers be able to realize and utilize those technologies.
Peter Krause is the president and CEO of PLI, Plasticard LockTech International. They have a new facility out in Romeoville. Peter, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell this morning.
Steve, my pleasure. Appreciate the invite.
And you can follow them on Twitter. They're at PLI Cards. You can also visit them online, PLICards.com.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures off about 32 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. And just in, Target has reported its quarter three results, revenue and sales $16.44 billion versus $17.61 billion a year ago. Their estimated per share $1.04 versus 86 cents a year ago. They seem to beat Wall Street estimates this morning. Their shares are up 7% pre-market. Target reporting quarterly earnings, decent quarterly earnings today. Let's get the latest now on markets, commodities, and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Yesterday, oil had an impact on the corn market, and ample supplies had an impact on the cattle and hog market at the Mercantile Exchange. Lean hog futures fell for a third consecutive session, dragged down by weaker cash and wholesale pork prices amid abundant seasonal supplies of hogs coming to market. And so at the end of the trading day yesterday, we saw the December lean hog contract ending at $46.12 a hundredweight, dropping 65 cents for the day. Cattle futures, on the other hand, we saw the December live cattle contract down 7 cents, but the other months in the cattle market ended the day higher, and feeder cattle also moved higher for the day. Turning to the market at the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, we did see the market gain in both corn and wheat, with one of the reasons for the increase in corn, the increase in oil prices, up more than 6% yesterday. And one of the reasons it's sort of tied to the crude market is the use of corn for ethanol. And so at the end of the day, corn and wheat prices up more than 1%, and they ended with a nearby corn contract up 3.5 cents a bushel at 379 and a quarter. December wheat was up a nickel at 398, and January soybeans came on to end the day up 7.5 cents. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. Let's check now the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. Some of these things could drive the markets today. It's a very busy day in terms of economic reports. We have the PPI at 7:30 Chicago time. Industrial production capacity utilization coming this morning as well. National Association of Home Builders Housing Market Index, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission annual report. House meets today. Legislative business. The Treasury Secretary chairs the Financial Stability Oversight Council later on this afternoon. The Gershwin Prize will be presented a little bit later on. The UN Climate Change Conference is underway and continues today. Secretary of State John Kerry among those attending. As you know, yesterday, the Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General outgoing of the United Nations, urging Donald Trump to get with the picture on climate change and not abandon the Paris Agreement, the Paris Accord, which they are now implementing at that meeting.